wind up things, isn't it? We're only half an hour late, but that's okay. I'll try and be quick. This afternoon we're going to talk about acceptance and belonging. And so it's a big topic and we could spend a whole weekend looking at it. We've got probably half an hour. So I'll try and get what I can in there. But I'm going to start with a couple of questions. And you can think about these. You don't have to yell out the answer, but ponder upon these things. Do you know just how precious and important you are? Do you know that God unconditionally loves you? I don't mean just in your head, because you've probably got all the answers worked out. But do you really know it in your heart, deep in your spirit, deep inside you? Do you really know that you're loved unconditionally and that you are precious and important? You see, you and I in our hearts and our spirits were actually designed by God, as we saw this morning. We were made by Him to receive unconditional love and acceptance. That was before sin came in. And then it was relationships were marred by sin. But God's plan for us was that right from the beginning, that He wanted us to know His unconditional love. And that we wouldn't have to worry about whether we belonged or not as part of His family, or whether we were slaves or sons. We would just know. But sadly, as a consequence of the fall, things have been very different. And things have got messed up. And the very thing that we've been designed for has actually been squashed. And so we find it very difficult to receive love, especially from our Heavenly Father, and especially when we haven't received it as a child, perhaps. And in fact, I've ministered to people that all through their life they've hardly received any earthly love at all. It's really sad. So let's just define things first. And I want you to, as I read these out, how do you see yourself in these things? First of all, I'm going to look at the definition of accept. What does it mean to accept? It actually means to consider something to be correct, adequate, valuable, wanted and desirable. Is that how you feel? Or what about the opposite? To reject means to consider something to be wrong, inadequate, unwanted, worthless, and necessary of exclusion. Do you feel like that at times? Perhaps most of the time. And what does it mean to belong? We belong to you belong to this church community. What does that mean? You belong to a family. What does that mean? It actually means to be a member of a group, a family or team, to have a sense of inclusion. Sometimes we can be members of something, but we don't feel included. But how do you feel? You see, ever since we saw this morning, Satan was flung out of heaven. He has tried to destroy that which is most precious to God, the pinnacle of God's creation, us. His target has been to destroy relationships. And if you think about it, and if you look at all the hurt and the pain and the problems in your life, I can guarantee somewhere that the root of most of it is relationships, or the lack of them, or the hurt that we've received from other people. You see, if Satan can damage the way we see God, the way we see ourselves, the way that we see other people, he can keep us away from God and receiving his love. Because if we think we are rejected, we don't want to go near God because we think that he'll reject us too. And that's what keeps us away. James talked about his dad and how not having his earthly father there actually affect the way he saw his heavenly father. And that's exactly what happens. Is if our earthly fathers have not been there for us, they've been distant, they've been critical, they've hurt us, or they've just not been there, then actually, then that's how we see Father God. We mightn't rationalise it like that, but actually that's how it actually we perceive God. But we know in our minds that God's not like that, but actually how do we feel about God? If I ask you, for example, what is the picture that you have of your Heavenly Father? I wonder what your reply might be. Is it a distant, far-off God? Well, he's out there and he'll listen to everybody else, but he won't listen to me. Or, you know, he's there, but he's sort of, I don't know if he'll really listen to my problems. He's got everybody else to think about. Or perhaps you see him as a really tough judge. He's going to come down hard on me because of what I've done. Or perhaps you feel like you'll never quite be good enough for him and we have to keep earning our acceptance. And sometimes we can be a bit scared of him. And it's not the fear of the Lord that's talked about in the Bible. We're scared of him because we fear punishment. Another question. There's lots of questions today. What about if I were to ask you, what do you feel when you look in the mirror? What would you say? What feelings rise up inside you? And as you looked in the mirror, how many times have you looked at yourself and said, I don't like what I see? You know, 20 years ago, I went and did the NET school at Pierpont. I came over from Australia. I was 39 at the time. And I did nets. And I just thought that God, because I prayed for my daughter, saw her healed, God had given me the vision for this centre, that I was just going to learn how to do this ministry. Boy, I didn't understand what God wanted to do in my life first, because he needed to work on me first before I went and prayed with other people. And I remember after having ministry, 39 years old, I'd been a Christian for 20 years, I looked in the mirror one night as I was taking off my makeup, as you do, and for the first time in my life, I could say, I like you. It took me 39 years. Because it's almost like something's ingrained in us. God's made us to receive love unconditionally, and yet usually we hate ourselves, or we don't like ourselves. And so if we can't love ourselves, it's very difficult to love other people or to receive love from other people or from God. And then again, if that's how we feel about ourselves, what about when you look at others? Are you critical and judgmental? Do you reject others before they have the opportunity of rejecting you? We found that there are perhaps, we can summarise these relationships in four key areas, and we would call them the four principles of acceptance. Here they are. To accept God as he really is, to be willing to receive his acceptance, to accept yourself as you are, and to accept others as they are. You see, we might ask, well, why is it that I believe that God loves me? You know, we can sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But deep in my gut, in my heart, it doesn't feel true. I can sing about it and I know. If someone asks me, I can quote it off. But actually, do you really feel that God loves you? The truth is that God is unconditionally loving and accepting, and his nature never changes. We can go up and down, but God's nature never changes. How do we respond to him? And that will determine whether or not we feel that sense of belonging into his family. You know, a lot of people feel like they've got to earn God's love. And actually that separates us from him. Our feelings of rejection often lead us to rebellion. And this further damages our ability to receive that acceptance of God. And through the influence of our parents during our early formative years, sometimes when we haven't had the nurture that we should have had, and the impact of other key authority figures in our lives, we will have made choices and formed beliefs as to how to respond in all our relationships. And it's actually these responses that establish whether we feel loved and accepted for who we are. You see, when a person is feeling rejected, abandoned, or alone, it will be primarily because one of all the above principles have not been understood or applied in their lives. And to protect ourselves from further hurt and pain, we develop all sorts of sinful behaviours and patterns which we don't even realise we have. So first of all, let's have a look at accepting God as he really is. You know, Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, you have seen him in me. And Jesus came to lead us to the Father. And we know that Jesus only did what his Father told him. And our problem is that we can subconsciously liken how we see our Heavenly Father to the way our earthly Father has treated us. But this is really who God is. He's gracious, he's forgiving, he's kind, he's slow to anger. Perhaps your father was quick to anger and that you felt you could never please him or you had to tiptoe around him. God is loving, he's compassionate, he's faithful, he's merciful. And his nature never changes. And what about if your earthly dad was critical? You might feel like you're never good enough and that God has got impossible standards for you to measure up to. And I feel hopeless. What's the point of even trying? If your dad didn't talk to you, you might feel that you don't matter, you don't exist, that I'm not significant. And then we see God in that same light, that God ignores me. He doesn't have time for me. What about if your dad was abusive? Then you won't be able to trust people, especially those with power. And guess what? God has lots of power, and therefore you won't be able to trust him. You know, you'd be amazed at how many people we pray with that tell you that their dads are great. But actually, when we probe a little, well, Dad wasn't really there, but you just said your dad was great. Yeah, but he wasn't. He was great because he provided for us, but he wasn't there. Do you remember your dad giving you a hug? Oh, no. You know, we need affirmation from our fathers. And we need that affirmation so that we can understand what our Heavenly Father is like. See, Mum and Dad together are supposed to represent the Father heart of God. And I know for most of us, I'm a mum, Paul's a dad, our four kids have all had ministry because we didn't get it all right and we were Christians. And of course, our parenting was the same. My mum and dad, they did the best they could, but they weren't Christians. I actually had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. But the reality was they came from broken backgrounds too, so they did what they could. But there was damage there. And so then I've parented my kids and there was damage there. Now they're parenting their kids and then we'll be damaged because we're all sinful, fallen human beings. But thankfully, we have a Father that wants to restore us, everything back to us. And, you know, every time that our parents and those in authority over us have mistreated us or let us down, that image of Father God is maligned and misrepresented. And you know, it breaks God's heart for his children to turn away from him and think that he's even like that. You probably all know the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And Jesus tells this story that most of us are probably very familiar with. It's great to know that Jesus shared it because he wanted to share what the Father's heart was like. God wants us to understand his love for us. And I'll just go through the story a little just to recap on it. The story is about a father who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And the audience that was listening to this story that Jesus was telling were scribes and Pharisees. They would have been horrified, as the only way you get your inheritance is if your father dies. So what the younger son was really saying is, "Dad, I wish you were dead because I want my money now." You see, the son wanted the blessings of the inheritance, but without the father. Are we a bit the same? "God, bless me, but I don't want to do what you say." And you know, according to the Jewish law, such rebellion of a son against his father should have meant that he would be dragged from the village and stoned to death. But Jesus simply said, the father divided the property between the two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got up, got all he had together. He set off for that distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out into the fields to feed pigs. For a Jewish boy to feed pigs, that was the lowest of the low. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but actually no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, you know, God sometimes has to take us into that place to actually get us to come to our senses. He says, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and he went to his father. You know, I wonder if the famine hadn't come, if the son would have ever returned. Sometimes God brings something drastic in our lives to give us a wake-up call. Don't ever despise those times. But the son knew that his father was a good man and that he treated his servants well. He would rather be one of his father's servants than to feed the pigs. He knew that he deserved nothing. He certainly didn't expect mercy, kindness, and forgiveness or love. And in the story, we know that the father never ceased to love the son, because it says, while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The fact that he saw him from a distance was that he was waiting for him. He was looking out for him. That's how God the Father is with us. He's always waiting for us to come back to him. And although the property had been sold, the law dictates that it didn't go to the new owner until the father had actually died. So he was still there. As soon as he saw his son, he ran and threw his arms around him. If you think about it, where did the son just come from? He came from the pig pen. He would have smelt, I'd say, and he would have been filthy. But you know, before the father hugged him, he didn't wait till he got cleaned up. There was immediate, unconditional, unquestioning acceptance. And the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. You know, there is nothing that we have ever done that will separate us from the love of God and Him accepting and loving us back. The prodigal father wanted the best robes for his son, not some dirty old robes. Father God wants the best robes for us. We are clothed in the robe of righteousness. Our penalty for death is paid for by Jesus. He doesn't want us to come back to Him as slaves, as we heard this morning. He wants us to know our sonship. He wants us to know how much we are loved by Him. He adopts us into His family. We don't have to come to Him cleaned up. In fact, we can't. He loves us just the way we are. You know, the father put a signet ring on his son, which symbolized authority. And such rings were used only by heirs and children of the landowner in the very area where the son had sinned with the finances. He reinstated him. And he reestablished trust. He was saying, "Son, I trust you. You don't need to prove yourself. All I have is yours." It's what God wants us to understand. All His love He has for us is ours. But we've got to receive it. Like that gift this morning. We've got to receive it. He was given back. The son was given back his status in the family. His sandals were put on his feet. You see, sandals were only worn by the sons, not by the servants. He was accepted back as a son, not as a slave. And whilst all this was happening, the father was rejoicing. He was so overjoyed to see his son come home. And Luke 15:10 says, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Father God is so waiting for us to come back to Him. And when Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Abba, Father." It's like Daddy God. You know, no Jew would have dared express that to Father God. In fact, they couldn't even speak His name. But to call Him Daddy. So do we accept God as He really is? Do we allow God to accept us as we are, just like the prodigal son? Because I'm a grandma, I have to show you photos. This is my second son, and that's his daughter. His daughter will be 11 in a week's time. And this is my youngest son, and his little girl will be nearly 3. But you know, when our kids and their kids, our grandkids were born, what do those little babies do for us to accept them? Nothing. We just love them and accept them because they're part of our family. And that's how God sees us, as His children. We don't have to do anything. In fact, if you think about little babies, most of you know that. They poop, they sick, they cry. But do we love them any less? Uh-uh. And yet, when we mess up, we think that God can't come near us. But God's heart is saying, just come back to me. Because I love you and I want you to experience my love. My unconditional love and acceptance, just as we unconditionally love our children. That's how God loves us, because we're His children, we're His kids. Why is it that we have this mentality that we've got to do something to earn that? So we need to allow God to accept us just as where we are. You see, the prodigal son had to make a choice. He was repentant, he knew how bad he'd been. And he struggled on his way home working out what he was going to say to his father. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve your love, your acceptance and your forgiveness. But his father gave it to him anyway. Or are you like that younger son? Although you may feel unworthy, can you approach Father regardless? Do you believe that he would welcome you back? Or can you allow the Father to put the robe of righteousness on you? Do you believe that Jesus was sufficient? And can you be accepted back as a son? Take the sandals. And what about a feast? Do you feel that you can be back in fellowship with the Father, part of his family? You know, Satan tries to lie to us, say, you must clean yourself up. You must get good enough to be loved by God. You're just too bad. You have to jump through all these hoops first before God can ever love you. But God embraces us while we still smell repulsive. Just as like when our kids soil their nappy, they don't smell particularly good, but we still love them anyway. And we clean them up. And God wants us to come to him so he can clean us up. God can sort it out. We don't have to try and sort it out in our own strength, because the reality is we can't. And so we need all that pain, all that damage, all that hurt that we've probably got sitting inside. Don't wait until it's cleaned up before we come to God. Come to God first, and he can then clean it up and let him love us. The next area is, do we accept ourselves as we are? This is probably one of the harder ones. Do we really accept ourselves as we are? Some people look in the mirror and they think, oh, yeah, that's not too bad. And others look in the mirror, is my bum too big? So true. We look in the mirror often and we see through either rose-coloured glasses or very dirty, foggy glasses, something that isn't true. And that's how we see ourselves. We see it through Satan's eyes. We don't see it through the Father's eyes. We don't see ourselves through the Father's eyes. We see ourselves through the eyes of rejection and not the eyes of accepting and loving Heavenly Dad. You see, the world is great at rejecting us. You only need to watch TV for an hour and look at a few magazines before you're made to feel that you could do better or you could be better. We're made to feel that we're too fat, we're too tall, we're too short, we're too extrovert, we're too introvert, we don't measure up, we don't wear the right clothes, we don't listen to the right music, and we don't have the right job or live in the right area. The list is endless. We're rejected by others. We might feel like we've been born the wrong sex. We're a mistake. And we're only loved if we're successful. Perhaps we've been bullied at school. There's been abusive situations. We beat ourselves up when we get things wrong. How many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but you think about it. How many of you have called yourselves stupid? You stupid thing. Why have you done that? But we do it, don't we? We curse ourselves. But that's not God's heart for us. We're made inside. We are quite fearful. But we betray to the world that we're in control and that everything's fine. We have a saying at LL what fine means. Fearful, insecure, neurotic and emotional. So if I say to you, hey, how are you going today? I'm fine. I'll say, yes, I understand. But so true, isn't it? You know, we're Christians. We don't have any problems, do we? But, you know, often we live out of falsehood. We live behind the masks. Who are we really? Do we really accept ourselves? I've got two American $1 notes here. Quite different ones. This one's had a rough life. It's got bits out of it. And it's been a bit screwed up. You don't mind me doing that, do you? And this one, ooh, it's pristine. It's quite flat and nice. So here we have two $1 notes. Which is worth more? Which is worth more? Neither. They're both worth the same. Just because this one's had a really hard life doesn't mean it's any less value than the one that hasn't. And we're a bit the same. Our value is actually in the fact that God loves us and that we're His. Our worth is in the fact that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die in our place. Regardless of all the wrong choices we might have made or fouled up our lives, regardless of terrible things that perhaps have been done to us, you are not devalued, and God will never make you feel worthless. That is only the work of the enemy. Because Daddy God says, you are my treasured possession. You may be scarred and battle-worn from years of hurt and pain, but your worth, your intrinsic value in Father God's eyes never changes. And it has nothing to do what we do or what we don't do. Our value comes from the very fact that we're His. You can only truly accept yourself when you see how Daddy God accepts you. You know, I might get hurt and rejected in this world, but if I can see myself the way God sees me, accept myself for who I am, then I can live in full relationship with Him, and together we can deal with things as they arise. You know, there is such a security in realizing that each one of us is unique and special and created for God for His pleasure. Can we really accept ourselves? The next one is accepting others as they are. You see, God is a God of variety. There is a divine law in operation which states that as we accept others, they become acceptable. And as we reject others, they become objectionable. We cannot, however, love others if we don't love ourselves. We usually see them through critical eyes. Because we cannot accept ourselves, we cannot accept others. And then people start behaving in ways that others have put upon them. Have you noticed that hurt people? And sometimes our difficulty in relating to others can be out of our own hurts and pains. It's a bit like the porcupine. It says, sometimes I just feel that nobody wants to get really close to me. That's true. Our prickles are all out. We don't want anybody to really get close to me, but we're craving for that. Do you know people like that? Or perhaps are you a person like that? Well, I won't let people get too close to me because I've been hurt before and I don't want them to get too close. So we reject them before they can reject us. And perhaps we have got close to someone in the past and they've really hurt us. And we might say, right, that's not happening again. I'm not going to let that happen again. So as soon as anybody gets close, the barriers are up and we put the prickles out. You see, what about the elder son in the story of the prodigal son? He was really angry at his father's response and angry at his brother. You know, if you're the prodigal coming home and being so welcomed by your father, how does the response of the older brother affect you? Can I ask you another question? Is there an older brother figure in your life, someone whose responses you might fear? Or are you like the older brother? His anger was based in his own wrong understanding of the father. He was equally missing out. He tried to do good works to receive the father's love and acceptance. He didn't do all the right things. But there was no relationship. Remember, he said, all these years I have been slaving for you. So he still saw himself as a slave and not a son. He was so busy doing things for the Father that he failed to enjoy being with the Father. And so we need to know, what is driving us? Who are we really? What is it that drives us in relationships? And as we get close to God, we need to take on his values and his love for people so that we can actually share that with others. Because we can only pour out of what we receive. We can't give out of an empty love tank. It's got to continually be filled up by Father God so that we can pour that out to others. We can love others because God first loved us. That's what it says in Scripture. Foundational to it all is knowing God for who he really is, accepting others, accepting ourselves. And again, it all goes back to those four areas of, or four principles of acceptance, as we call them. To accept God as he really is. To be willing to receive his acceptance. To accept yourself as you are. And to accept others as they are. So in conclusion, we could say that acceptance is a key dynamic of kingdom life. It draws us closer to God's heart. And it's only when we understand and accept who we are in Christ that we can become what we are in Christ. And as we put it into practice, God brings restoration and healing to our whole being, body, spirit, and soul. You see, if we can be secure in these four principles of acceptance, if our identity is secure in God, then we not only become whole ourselves, but our responses, our reactions and behaviour seeks to cause damage to others. You see, there's only one big enough to hold us, to heal us and to deal with all our hurts, and that's our Father in heaven. Dare we trust him? But he will not let you down. I'm going to read a prayer for you, and I'll get you to stand in a minute. If you would like to, you don't have to. And we can pray it together, and then we'll have an opportunity for some ministry. So it says, Heavenly Father, I recognise that I have not known the unconditional acceptance that you have for me. I choose to believe that your love for me is unchanging, even when I feel unlovable. I choose to forgive my father, my mother, and my forebears for any rejection that has had an effect on me through the generational line into my life. I break any curse of rejection upon my life in Jesus' name. I belong to God's family and receive the blessing of that inheritance. I choose to forgive, as you probably have, but you haven't thought about choosing to forgive those that have rejected you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to free me from the power of the wounding words and actions. I confess that to minimise the pain of rejection, I've behaved in ways that have rejected others and separated me from knowing your acceptance and love for me. I choose today to find the Father's protection and unconditional acceptance through my abiding in Jesus and obeying his commandments. I do not receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but I receive a spirit of adoption by which I can cry out, Abba, Father. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to ask you if you'd like to pray this, to stand. Thank you. So, let me just pray for you before we pray this together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these precious saints here today. Lord, I pray that you will come and meet with them. Father, that you would come and do that work of restoring them back to yourself, Lord, no matter where they've strayed, no matter where they've gone, Lord, that you would allow them to accept themselves, to accept you, to accept others, Lord, and to walk in that. So, Father, just be with them now as they pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I have not known the unconditional acceptance that you have for me. I choose to believe that your love for me is unchanging, even when I feel unlovable. I choose to forgive my father, my mother, and my forebears for any rejection that has had an effect on me through the generational line into my life. I break any curse of rejection upon my life in Jesus' name. I belong to God's family and receive the blessing of that inheritance. I choose to forgive those who have rejected me through my life. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to free me from the power of their wounding words and actions. I confess that to minimize the pain of rejection, I have behaved in ways that have rejected others and separated me from knowing your acceptance and love for me. I choose today to find the Father's protection and unconditional acceptance through my abiding in Jesus and obeying his commandments. I do not receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but I receive a spirit of adoption by which I cry out, Abba, Father. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I just pray that you would just come now and just show us those perhaps deep wounds of rejection, perhaps where we haven't accepted ourselves. Lord, and I just pray that you would just come and show them how much you love, that you love your children, that they don't have to do anything to earn your love or even deserve it just by being your kids. So, Father, just come now. Just let them know your love. Just overflow them. Overwhelm them with your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we have an opportunity for ministry. If you would like someone to pray with you into this area, we haven't got a lot of time. We've got about 20 minutes, I guess, till we have to leave. Yeah, a little bit longer. So if you would like, and again, you can take a seat if you'd like to, but if you would like ministry, if you could pop your hand up, and then I will direct you to the ministry team. Thank you so much.